the chair.
Good evening. Thank you, Charlotte. Wasn't that a blessing? Yes. Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and open up the Word to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So what I do typically is we read it first, and then we go back and we'll park on some things that the Spirit is wanting us to hone in on tonight. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Actually, I'm not going to go on. I'm going to stop right there. Something that caught my heart when I was reading this over and over again is when Paul begins to give thanks to the Lord. First of all, one of the great attributes of a Christian is to always give thanks to the Lord. Always having a thankful heart, giving him thanks for the conditions that we're in, for the circumstances that may be going on in our lives, but most importantly, for those that he's placed in our lives, and for the saints that are not even living in our communities, because he's writing a letter to a group of people that he had never met before. He heard about them, but he never met them. And he is praying for them with such an intimate relationship with God. Just a communion with the Father. Paul just communed with the Father as he lifted up his prayer for these people. And so he thanks God for them. Why? Because he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. And of course, we have to ask ourselves, do people hear of our faith in Christ Jesus? Are we known by our faith, or are we known by our worry or fear or rebellion, strong personalities, quiet personalities? What are we known for? But he is thanking God for their faith because he heard of their faith. Second of all, he hears of their love. And then thirdly, and their love for all the saints. And thirdly, he hears of the hope that they have laid up for them in heaven. And this right here, and I am going to mention, I told Aaron, I wasn't sure if I was or not, but right there, if you remember the book of Corinthians, you'll see at the end of chapter 13, Paul says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these three are love. Okay? But here, he's saying faith, love, hope. Why? I believe this is a perfect, I believe the whole 14 verses is perfect on the topic of salvation, justification, faith in God, love, sanctification, walking a life with God by the power of the Spirit in love. Third of all, glorification, because the hope which lays up for us in heaven is when we will see him, we will what? We will be like him, and we will be before the throne of glory. We'll be worshiping him, lifting up our hands, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So here we have justification, faith. What is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we all know this, but we're going to say it anyway. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony, and by faith we understand. And I'm going to stop there. So by faith, they received the words of Epaphras. By faith, they believed into the unseen world, really. We have been given five senses, right? Taste, feel. I lost it all already. Say it for me. Hearing, vision. Okay, we got it. But guess what? There's a sixth sense that I'm not going to forget. And it's the sense of the spiritual world. And I believe that God gives us this faith, as was just said in Hebrews chapters 1 through 3, chapters 11, verses 1 through 3, into this spiritual world. We have a heavenly hope. We have been saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and He gives us the insight of the things that which we can't see. Faith is what? The substance of the things that we can't see, but the evidence of things hoped for. So it's that evidence of things hoped for that keeps us going, saying, Maranatha, the Lord is coming. This too shall pass. What we're going through right now will pass. But faith, this faith is different. This is the saving faith of Christ. This goes to, actually, we're going to skip around a little bit, to verse 13, if you would, this faith. What happens when we become a Christian? What happens? Verse 13, it says that He, who is He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. First of all, prior to salvation, we lived in the kingdom of Satan. There's two kingdoms. I don't know if you ever think about that, but there is. There's the kingdom of Satan, and there's the kingdom of God. There's heaven, and there's hell. There's saved, and there's lost. So we were in the kingdom of Satan. We were living in darkness. We were moving in evil. We were against God in our heart. We were enemies of God, the Word of God says. And God, because of this faith that He began, it's a gift from Him, that He began working in us. It's a gift of God. We know that you came to Him by grace through faith, which is a gift of God. And so we come to Him, and all of a sudden, there's this deliverance immediately. And He delivers us from the power of darkness. Now we're here in this world, which is cursed, but yet we still find beauty. Here in this world, we have been delivered, actually, when you come to Christ, we have been delivered from the power of sin in our life. You know that, don't you? We still sin, but we have been delivered and set free from the power of sin in our life. We don't have to say yes. We get to choose if we're going to sin or not. In this life, even as Christians, we are still tempted by sin. But when we enter into our hope in heaven, there will never be the presence of sin again. Can you imagine a life, eternity, without even the presence of sin? So in the Spirit, He has delivered us, set free, absolutely annihilated that part of our life, ever living in the power of darkness. And He translates us. Where? We don't go to a holding tank called purgatory. We go to, He conveys us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Do you know, ladies, we are seated in heavenly places. We're here, but we're seated in the heavenlies, where Christ is. Let our affections be where He is. And we are seated there. Our citizenship is in heaven. We forget that. We worry about the things of this world, and it can hold on to us. We can be having strongholds holding on to us by worrying about things that's only in His control. So we need to remember that He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Another thing that happens at the point of conversion by faith, in whom, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. He's purchased us. We've been redeemed, that old Sunday school song says, by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know it? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. You know, I'll tell you, I don't know why that's a Sunday school song. I think we need to be shouting that song on a Sunday morning. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So, because of that, that happens at the point of conversion. Another thing that happens at the point of conversion, this saving faith, is He has qualified us, verse 12. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There is no darkness in Him at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There is no darkness with God. And He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. We could never be a partaker of this grace, of this inheritance of the saints, but by God, because He qualified us. He did it for us. We couldn't do it ourselves. We cannot be delivered by ourselves. We cannot have redemption of ourselves. It's only through Christ. And I think that sometimes as believers, we forget why and how we came to Christ. I believe. But what happened at that very moment you were truly, truly born again? You confessed your sin. You went to the cross. You allowed the blood of Jesus to just cleanse you from head to toe, and you are set free from the strongholds from Satan. So now we go to the love of all saints. He prays for them because the love of all saints, and that should be an attribute, a part of our character, as I said before, that love should be preeminent in our life. And if we have an odd against someone in our heart, we need to go to that. First of all, we go to the Lord, because God might tell us to not go to somebody. I mean, that could be, cause a problem sometimes, unless you both are in the Spirit. But but you go to the Lord first, and you just, first of all, ask Him to soften your heart, and you begin to pray for the person that has hurt you. And you ask God's blessing. Sometimes we ask God's chastisement. But we need to ask God's blessing. Pour your blessing and pray how He prays in these next few verses, and then also laid up for us in heaven. You know, the greatest reward we have in heaven is what, I'm going to go right to it again. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at it. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God, salvation again, believe that He is. He is what? He is the I Am. He's everything. But here it is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe He is our reward. I believe He is our inheritance. When I go to heaven, I don't think I'm going to be looking for a house. I honestly don't even know if I'm going to look for anything but Him. And I'll also look for those I love, which probably is everybody. But but anyway, He is our reward. He is our inheritance. And sometimes we bring earth up there in our hearts and minds. We say, well, I hope that our bathrooms are decorated a certain way, or we have this beautiful terrace out in the front that we can have coffee on, and I hope he knows I don't like meat. So I'm hoping, you know, but the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy, right? Okay, I'm getting off here. Okay, sorry. Of what you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Once again, the word, and I cannot tell you how important it is for us to be in the word of God. And I just so appreciate all your Bibles that are open and your pens are moving on your paper and you're taking notes. You're hungry for the word of God. And just keep feasting on his word, because faith comes from hearing. We say this every week almost, and hearing that of the word of God. Our faith cannot grow if we're only in the word Sunday mornings being taught by our pastor. I mean, it might a little bit. It won't grow much if all we do is open that Bible once a week and we move it from place to place as we dust our house. And I know there are people that struggle with reading the Word of God. But ladies, it's not hard. Instead of you reading the Word, allow the Holy Spirit to read it to you. Now, think of that. When you read a book to a child, they listen intently because you're reading it because you love them. Will you say, Holy Spirit, will you read the word to me today? I need to hear from you. Will you read the scriptures to me? And that makes all the difference in the world. And then you get a word from him. And you say, I can't leave this place, Lord, until I have a word from you. I need to hear from you. And he will, because he's faithful. Which has come to you as it has, verse 6, also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Your salvation, your walk with him, your time sanctification, the whole time until you go to be with him, will bring forth fruit, growing fruit. Now, that is not a work. Do you know that? Because right here in verse 10, is it? Verse 10, yes. It says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful. Do you notice the word being? We're being fruitful. Why? Because we are in him and he is in us. And because of that, he is producing the fruit through us. We just need to abide in him, walk with him, love him, and keep knowing the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So many things happen and are written about in the Spirit. We are spiritual beings because we are born of the Spirit. We're not carnal. And his heart for us is not to be carnal. His heart for us is to have our minds renewed day by day. Okay, so now we're going to go to the prayer, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, I love the word that he keeps saying, heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Once again, spiritual understanding. A carnal mind cannot understand the scriptures. We can try to study it. We can try to memorize it. We can try to live it. But unless we have been born again of the Spirit, we will not understand and have spiritual understanding. But he's praying that it would continue in them. It's not a one-time experience to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It should be a daily time with the Lord as you allow Him to saturate you with His Spirit and His presence. So the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, that we would walk in the will of God. Sometimes it's thrown around too much that God has told me to do this or God has told me to do that. And then the next day we're saying God has told me this. It's totally opposite. And I feel like we need to be quiet when we think God's telling us something until we are absolutely sure. Because it makes others wonder, does God change His mind, especially if our children see us constantly vacillating back and forth? We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, but also growing in the knowledge of His will for us in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy, that you would have a life worth bringing Him, the worth of who He is. That our lives would be that sacrifice to Him, that living sacrifice to Him, holy and acceptable, which Romans chapter 12 talks about. Presenting our lives to Him, walking worthy of that, of Him, pleasing Him. I think of Enoch. Enoch was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. It says it right there in Genesis. And it says, so he begot Methuselah, and then Enoch walked with God for 300 years. So Methuselah, something had to happen at the birth of that man, that baby, actually, because it changed Enoch's life. It changed his life so much that it even says he pleased God. He found great favor, and he pleased God that at 365 years, he was not, for God took him. But he pleased God. To please God, there has to be constant communion. And that is not a duty. That is a relationship. You're communing with the one who loves you and the one who should be the object of our love. The one we love more than anybody or anything else in the world. We should be in constant communion with Him because He's not silent. In fact, He says He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Being fruitful, again, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, again. Strengthened with all might, not our own might, but the might of His Holy Spirit. If you haven't asked the Holy Spirit to absolutely fill you with all His might, please do so. You can do it right now. You can do it when you get home. But Holy Spirit, strengthen me with all might. You see someone, maybe your marriage is suffering, strengthen our marriage with all might. Strengthen my friend with the power of your Holy Spirit with all your might, God. Strengthen. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. I had an experience last night. I only have 8 more minutes, so I'm going to hurry. But last night, I went to put my 3 grandchildren to bed. Now, mind you, they're 4 and under. So 2 of them I put to sleep first, the 2 girls, 4-year-old, 3-year-old. And one of them is just a doll. The 4-year-old doesn't talk yet, you know, just... She's just a beautiful, beautiful, sweet girl that God has given us. And all of a sudden, I thought she was asleep. I left the room. I already prayed with them, read them some books. And I get up, and I hear all this noise. And I walk in. One's asleep. The other one is wide awake, jumping all over, jumping on the bed, moving the lights, I mean, breaking things, you know, all this. And at first, I said, Bella, you need to lay down right now. And I spanked her on her fanny. And then I laid down with her. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I want you to turn off the light. I want you to put worship music on. And I want you, because we sing with them all the time. But this was something different, because I'll tell you what happened. And I want you to sit with her. And so I put on, and my favorite song in all the world came on. And it's Now and Forever. And the angels cry, okay. And it came right to that. And the angels cry. And so Sybilla holds my hands. We're both sitting. And all of a sudden she lifts my hands. And she lifts my hands. And we're both holding hands. And she's in her little voice and her little sounds. And it went to the next song. And it went to the next song. And then I just hugged her, and she hugged me, and we just nestled so close. And I said, Father, forgive me for spanking her. And the Holy Spirit says, this is how you draw her to you. Not to me, but you draw her to the Father because she doesn't understand some things. So just holding her, and that is the patience and long-suffering and joy to just experience heaven with my special granddaughter is something I'll never ever forget. Giving thanks once again to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of which we already talked about, of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. You know, these 14 verses say it all. I mean, the rest of Colossians is powerful. And I can't wait to hear what you're teaching next time. It's so beautiful. And I pray that God's Spirit will allow all of us to come into a different dynamic in our walk with Him. A different commitment, a different communion, changing as we read, just being changed from glory to glory for His glory. I wrote down 19 attributes that a believer should have that's in these 14 verses. Verse 1, walking in the will of God. Paul was walking in the will of God. Verse 2, giving thanks to the Father. And we see that in verse, we see that as he prays for them in two or three different places. Praying for the saints, being women of faith. Love for others, especially the body of Christ. Having our hope in heaven. Being fruitful. Know the grace of God in truth. Love in spirit. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with wisdom. Filled with spiritual understanding. Walk worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing Him. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with His glorious power. Patience, long-suffering, and joy. And my hope that as you go through these 14 verses, that you will take ownership. Because all these attributes, character traits, have already been given to us. Because we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And we have been translated into the kingdom of God. Of the Son in His love. Amen? Okay. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that your Holy Spirit speaks to us even now as we're praying. We thank you so much that when we're jumping around and breaking things and turning on lights and off lights, and that you don't come in and whack us, but you come in and hold us. I thank you, Father, that you are gentle. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. We thank you for each other, Father. We pray that as we gather in our groups that we will be sensitive to each other. that we will listen more than we speak. That we will listen to you, that we will listen to those that are quiet. Allowing them to share the gems that you have shown them in the scriptures. Father, we pray for physical healing if someone here is ill, needing prayer for that. And we pray for emotional healing. We pray for just your gentle touch upon each heart here tonight. And we thank you so much, for you are good. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good.